This is the last parable in Matthew's gospel. It's about the end of time when Christ returns. And that return is likened to a wedding. There's so many times throughout the gospel where Jesus talks about the kingdom being like a wedding. It's like he just keeps trying to find different images and metaphors to try to explain the reality of the kingdom to us. And Jesus says in that first line of the gospel today, he says, then, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So first and foremost, note that they go out to meet not a bridegroom, but the bridegroom. They go out to meet Christ. As a priest in the church, I stand in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. I take the place of Christ, so to speak. But when Christ returns, I yield to him. And all of you bridegrooms who are here, you're called to be images, sacraments of Christ, the divine bridegroom. But when he returns, there will only be one bridegroom. The second most important thing to note here is the absence of a bride. There's a wedding and a bridegroom, but not a single mention of a bride. Talk about wise and foolish. That's what's foolish. A wedding without a bride? Or is there a bride? The bridegroom comes to take his bride into the wedding feast. Well, in this parable, the bridegroom takes the wise virgins into the wedding feast. The virgins represent the church, the whole church, who's made up of many individual members, and yet is a single bride, a single church. In the unity of the church, there's both absolutely unique membership. Each and every member is absolutely unique, and yet called into the one communion of the church. Each of the lamps, and we'll see that played out a little bit further on in the parable, that the one and the many, so to speak. Each of the virgins has a lamp, a container for holding oil. That's all it is, right? It's not a whole lot of emphasis put on the lamp. In a sense, the lamp is our shared humanity. But the oil that fills the lamp, that's the result of our individual experiences and efforts. My life experiences and the decisions that flow from them crush out the olive oil that fills my lamp. Someone criticizes me at work or at school, and the way that I respond fills or doesn't fill my lamp. I experience a success of some kind or another, or popularity of some kind or another, and the way that I respond fills or doesn't fill my lamp. The oil, or lack thereof, that I make during my lifetime, or don't make during my lifetime, is the material for the fire to burn and produce light. In the course of our lives, we're preparing for the only fire that really matters, the divine, eternal fire of God's love that comes and longs to come to set us on fire and so to illumine the whole world. We're called to be a light for the world. Jesus says that earlier in the gospel. How prepared are our hearts to be set on fire with God's love? Keep that in mind for the second half of this parable. How prepared is my heart for the fire of God's love? Is there anything there to burn? The divine bridegroom is long delayed in returning. And notice that all 10 virgins grow drowsy and fall asleep. Both the wise and the foolish virgins all share the same weaknesses of our humanity. If I get tired from time to time, if I fall asleep from time to time, if I stumble from time to time, that's a part of being human. We're all sinners. We're all weak. That's why we need a Savior. We all get tired and worn out. Well, then, in the story, the bridegroom arrives at midnight, in the darkest hour, right? And the cry goes out, "Behold the bridegroom, come, go out to meet him." You can almost hear the archangel's voice there. "Behold the bridegroom, go out to meet him," calling us up from the grave, so to speak. And all 10 get up, foolish and wise, right? Even the foolish ones, they want to meet the bridegroom. Their difficulty is not that they don't know Christ. They know him. They're waiting for him on some level. The trouble is that they have no oil of their own. And when they ask the wise virgins to share some of their oil, it sounds like a reasonable request, right? I mean, come on. We're supposed to share. And when the wise virgins say that they won't share, that sounds mean. It's one of the fundamental things we're supposed to do as Christians, right? Within the church, we're supposed to support one another and encourage one another to share with one another. If I have enough, if I have more than enough, I share with you, or even I share from the little that I have. We share one another's burdens. We even talk about the sharing of spiritual goods within the communion of saints. Right? Your prayers help me, and my prayers help you. The prayers of the saints help us, and our prayers help those in purgatory. The sharing of spiritual goods, we're encouraged to do that. But if we remember that the oil is a symbol of each person's life experiences, that our material prepared for the fire of divine love, then that refusal begins to make sense. I can't stand before Christ on your behalf and tell him, "I love you." Only you can do that. I can't say those words for you. If I say those words on your behalf, it just doesn't mean anything. Well, where's the other person? Thank you. I can't stand before him on your behalf when the bridegroom shows up and say, "I believe you. I trust you. I want your will to be done in my life." Only you can say that, mean that, do that, live that. And when the bridegroom shows up at the end of time, we're either ready or we're not. We've had a whole lifetime to get ready. And so when those 5 foolish virgins don't have anything prepared, what they're really saying to the bridegroom is that, I don't have any love for you. I have nothing for you to set on fire. What they're really saying to the other virgins is, I need to borrow some of your love. Your love for Christ. Can I have some of your love for Christ? Because I don't have any. Now that makes the response of Christ to the foolish virgins make a lot more sense as well. They run up and bang on the door. "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." And he says, "Amen, I say to you, I don't know you." How can the divine bridegroom, whose only desire is to set us on fire with love for him, say that he